Indeed, our hope is here. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. So good to be in church this morning. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness, for your love, for that which you have brought to us. You've made it possible to be here this morning. Thank you, God Almighty, for the life that you've given us. Thank you for the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God Almighty, as we think about these things, Lord, may our hearts be enriched with so much of you. We honor you and we thank you for this beautiful thing that we're celebrating in this season. We honor you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Oh, yes. We are talking about Christmas according to the Gospels. So great, so great. And we are in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And last week, Pastor Sammy was talking about Jesus being the Savior who was born. And today we are still talking about Jesus being born, but with an emphasis on actually his birth. Amen. So we're in Luke chapter 2. Verse 1 to 20. I'm going to do a bit of reading, huh? All right. From the English Standard Version, I'm going to read verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, if you've been wondering why I like that word, it's Christmas that damaged me. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. We are talking about the wonder of the Savior's birth. The wonder of the Savior's birth. When we look at this narrative, there are three features that I would like to highlight on the nativity or the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to build cases around these three questions. Who planned it? Second question, who publicized it? Third question, who perceived it? Let's deal with the first question. Who planned it? Who made the arrangements for it to happen? In the narrative, the first person we see mentioned is the Roman emperor. The first there ever was, who had been in power from 27 BC to 14 AD, about 41 years. And he was a good man, he was wise, he was a strategist, he was very organized, and he was a great administrator as well. He brought peace to the whole Roman Empire because he was so well organized. There is something called Pax Romana. If you've heard of Pax Romana, it's referring to a period of relative peace and stability in the whole Mediterranean region, which was characterized by a lack of large-scale warfare within the empire borders. And this allowed for a lot of economic and cultural development. It facilitated trade, communication, and the spread of Roman influence. But he could only do this with lots of money and lots of soldiers. So the two things he needed were tax and conscription. You know, about the recruits, getting soldiers in. And so he made a decision that went out to the furthermost parts of the Roman Empire to undertake a census every 14 years so he could catch two things. Number one, people's income, so he could tax it. The second thing, young men of conscription age, so he could replenish the military. He wanted more soldiers. This is how he kept the peace going, so that he could keep on the Pax Romana. So from the Roman Emperor's office went out a decree that would actually facilitate the Savior's birth in the specific place that was prophesied 1,000 years earlier. The Roman Emperor, without even knowing anything about Jesus' birth, was actually arranging the birth of the Savior. How God can use the most unlikely people? Who would have thought it? I don't think any Jew in that day imagined that the Roman Emperor will actually be part of the arrangement. See, when people are planning things, trying to destroy you, it's the enemy working in them. You see? But the devil actually has never been able to diminish or to shut down the mission of God in his people. He ends up being a servant of God's purpose. And you, as a child of God, one day when you stand before your heavenly Father, he will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He's the only servant who will never receive those words. He's actually serving the purpose of God by trying to confuse it, because God is a strategist. He's the genius of the ages. He knows everything, and the enemy cannot outsmart him. Caesar, not knowing anything. God bless you, Caesar. He was planning the Savior's birth. Now, the Jews, as it were, they were exempt from military conscription because they had religious objections to fighting on the Sabbath. And they were given this exemption. by the emperor. But they were still obligated to pay taxes, probably a bit more heavily as a result of the exemption. Tax those Jews. Find out how many there are. Find out their income. Tell each of them to go back to the place of their family origin. And we will get them all tabulated because they were good for business. They were good with business. So he wanted to make sure he taxed all of them. There's another person mentioned, Quirinius, a Roman governor in the eastern end of the Mediterranean region, who was responsible for Syria and what is now called Palestine. Herod is also in the picture, but he was a nominal leader. Quirinius was actually the Roman power behind the throne. And he said in the census, we must have all the names of everybody, their property, their occupation, and their family tree. Tabulate all of it. All of it. But the governor now, Quirinius, the governor, decreed that only male heads of households should take the journey. That the women and the children, they didn't have to go out. The wives and their children, they had to stay back. They had to stay behind. So the governor was not fully responsible for Mary being part of the journey. But he did cause Joseph to travel to the place of his family origin. So the other person we see, this is not, so the governor is responsible for getting Joseph to go back to the place of his family origin. But Mary, she's in the picture as well. We'll get to Mary. Joseph, a carpenter, he decided to take his fiancée, whom he had now married, though their marriage had not been consummated yet. So she was partly his wife and partly his fiancée. But she was very near her confinement. That means the EDD was very close, eh? So he decided to take her about 128 kilometers on the back of a donkey. Who does that? You don't make that kind of a decision easily. But why did he do it? It's because Mary was ostracized. Nobody would have helped her in her confinement. Nobody would have helped her. A girl in that condition in the village life of that day would be cut off by her relatives. She only had her husband. None of her relatives would have helped her in her confinement. So Mary had to travel 128 kilometers because there would be nobody else to help while she was in labor. It was her first baby, and she was only about 16 years old, a young girl. We also see in the picture the innkeeper, and we are so harsh with the innkeeper. We try to imagine, if it was I would have let the king be born in my inn. Just chuck one of the people out. But the man was just doing business. First come, first serve, right? Yeah, there was no way he was going to chuck people out of the... They've already booked. They came first, and here is Joseph with his wife. And you have to understand, only male heads of households are there. And there is one person. I'm sure the innkeeper could have thought, man, why did you bring your wife here? Only men are coming here. But we must be kind. At least he offered a manger. Right? Yes. And a manger, you know, is an equivalent of a car park in the back of a motel. Because the transportation, the Jaguar was a donkey. You know, the car, that's what you used for transportation. Alright? So we see the innkeeper also in the arrangement, in the plan for the Savior's birth. Then we also see Mary. She had carried swaddling clothes. Now, this word is like a bombastic word. Sounds fancy. It's just diapers. Swaddling, like what? It's not for swag. It's just diapers. You know, amatevela. You know, she had carried diapers because she knew she was very close to her confinement. But here's the thing. Here's the point. She did it herself. Nobody else. You know, men are of very little help in this kind of thing. I said, you know, when before we had kids, I was saying, you know, I'll be present. I'll be there when my children are being born. Yeah, you know. And then we went to the ward, and there was this nurse. And she just said, Batata, you're not coming in here. No, I want to be, this is my baby. It's my right, this is my child. You know what? She said, you are not coming in here, sorry. Do you know why she did that? Most men that went with that boldness, when they came out of there, they were traumatized. No more children. And they had seen that so many times, you see. So she didn't want me to go through that. So I just said, you know what? If she came to my office, I'd be the boss right now. She's the lady in charge of the process. So I'll respect that. This was usually a job of a midwife. But Mary did it herself. Or a relative at least to assist. But there was no woman to help her. Joseph could do what he could. But he could only do so much. I've heard of celebrities who book the whole floor, hospital floor, because they want their baby to be born. You know, they just book the whole floor and they chuck everybody out, and whatever it is, they pay. Because that's how much value we place. Huh? A human life is coming into the world, and we plan so much, and rightly so. But would you arrange your baby's birth like that? In a manger? Would you make that kind of a plan? Would you want your baby to be snuffled up by animals? Well, that's how God arranged the birth of His only begotten Son. Behind each of these people in the narrative, from the Roman Emperor, Quirinius, Joseph, Mary, the innkeeper, there is God. And it was God who planned all of it. He made all of these arrangements so unexpectedly. He did it. 600 years before this time of the Savior's birth, in Micah 5, it says, God has said, out of Bethlehem, Ephrathah, will come a ruler and Savior. And it all unfolds in an apparently accidental way. And so the skeptic could just say, the skeptic and the cynic, you know, they would just say, these are just disconnected instances. But this is how God operates. When He does a miracle, people can say, this is just coincidence. The unbeliever can explain it away and dismiss it. Dismiss any divine involvement, but the believer knows that this is proof that he is the Son of God who was promised. Amen. To the unbeliever, it was just the Roman Emperor, the governor, the Nazarene carpenter, the innkeeper. But to the believer knows that this is the Savior's birth that was strategically planned by God Himself. And that is why so many people do not see what God is doing today. They dismiss it as accidental coincidence. But God is managing the affairs of men and fulfilling His purpose. Amen. And the believer knows it very well. So that's how the arrangement was. It was God behind all of these people. Without knowing, some of them without knowing, Joseph and Mary knew very well, but the Roman emperor had no idea that his decree was actually going to facilitate the birth of our Savior. That's how it was planned. So we've answered that question at least. The next question, the publicity. Who publicized it? Because when a baby is born, we want people to know. We want people to know. Proud parents, they want the whole world to know that they have a baby now. And in this nativity story, there was a proud father. I remember, you know, when my daughter was born, our first child, I wanted everybody to know. And I wanted people to ask me questions. No, so how's it? And when they don't ask, I'm eager, you know. I feel sleepy, you know. Oh, you're feeling sleepy. Yeah. Why? But it's still morning. Ah, these little humans. You want people to know. What do you mean, little human? No, we have a child. You have a child? Yes. And you know what? Then you go on explaining. She feeds every 2 hours. You know, because of the excitement. And in the text, there was a proud father who wanted people to know that his child, his son was born. And he wanted to announce it. He had arranged for a public announcement. And the announcement is so beautifully organized. Our Heavenly Father, so proud of his dear son, looking and celebrating the beginning of his human, physical, human existence. He celebrates Jesus' willingness to descend into the mundane. And the sky was lit. And the angels announced to the shepherds that Christ, the Savior, the Lord, was born. It's an announcement that came from highest heaven to lowest earth. Shepherds. We often overlook the fact that shepherding was not a very nice job. It wasn't a dignified vocation. Any ambitious, driven child would not say, one day when I grow up, I want to be a shepherd. It was despised. A shepherd was the lowest of the low. He was despised and mistrusted. Most of them were rogues, petty criminals. And most of them had been to court. They took a job as a night watchman of the flock because they were fit for nothing else. And couldn't be trusted in regular employment. So, the decree of that day was that no shepherd was allowed to give evidence in court. Because they were liars. They were useless. They were the outcasts. Nobody would employ them. Nobody would hire them. They usually had no home. They just slept in whatever they wore. Out in the hills. Watching sheep. Now, sorry if I'm spoiling your the romance of the Christmas story, the jingle bells. But the truth is that when God chose to announce the birth of his only begotten son, he announced that birth from the highest heaven to lowest earth. You know, it's like God delivering the message. Let me bring it home. Delivering the message, the most important message to humanity, to junkies in Soweto, the ones who sniff Jankim, the ones who steal your mirrors from your cars, they take them out. Very upsetting. My friend was complaining. He's had to replace those tight mirrors at a very high cost. It's like, those are the ones. You know, one time we were buying stuff in Soweto. And there was a certain corner, there was a certain direction we were going, because for us, we were just following the food. And then we found this woman, and she said, "Batata, for those of you who don't understand, don't use that way. The junkies will pounce on you like a pack of wolves. And they're going to take all your stuff." He said, "My goodness, this world. Because they have a spot where you don't pass. If you pass there, it's on you. They'll get all your stuff. They are petty criminals." Now imagine God using a junkie to make a report, to announce good news. You wouldn't do that. Why did God announce the birth of his son to these guys who were worthless, outcasts, shepherds, useless and despised, and uncouth, uneducated? Why would God announce it first to these who couldn't even offer Jesus any other home other than the manger? They are the group in Bethlehem who couldn't take him to their home. You see, it's because God sent Jesus to those who needed a savior. Jesus himself said at some point, he said, it's the sick who need a physician. Those who are fine, they're okay. And he came for them. The healthy ones are okay. But these who are messed up, they need a savior. Now there's something interesting here, worth noting. Bethlehem Ephrathah was located in the south of Jerusalem, and it was about 10 kilometers within sight of the holy city. Therefore, the sheep that were bred in Bethlehem were not used for wool or mutton. All the sheep in those fields were bred so they can be sent to Jerusalem to be slaughtered for sin, to be made Passover lambs. They were the suppliers. The shepherds were keeping those for sacrifice, not for food. To have Jesus born in Bethlehem, God is looking ahead to a time when his son would be taken like a lamb to Bethlehem. To Jerusalem, and become the Lamb of God, slain before the foundations of the world, to take away the sins of the world. He's a strategist. Symbolically, he's expressing this within the story as it progresses. So when the announcement bridged the highest heaven to lowest earth, this was a symbol of what Jesus himself had come to do, to lift people of low estate into the glory of heaven. The shepherds were very curious. They were very curious. Imagine how they felt. How can a wonderful thing come to us? They would have imagined maybe others have been told also, and we must rush, get there first. Because who would choose us to be the first ones? So they didn't even waste any time. They wanted to go quickly so they could be the first. And they rushed. They immediately left everything and went to see the baby. From one courtyard to another, until they found one with a baby in it, in a manger. These are the people God used to announce the birth of his dear son, the Savior, the Lord. They were filled with so much wonder that they left immediately. So they are the ones who publicized it. The outcasts, the useless ones. In a way, God is saying, I value you. I have come for you. You may not be recognized, you may be outcast, but I've come to get you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God came just for you? Hallelujah. No matter how messed up, no matter what you've done in the past, God's redemption. God's love reached down to even you because of his love. Hallelujah. That's how he planned it. So we've answered two questions. Who planned it? Who publicized it? The third question is, who perceived it? Or who acknowledged it? The birth of his son. Now, in verses 18, 19, and 20, there are three reactions to the announcement of the shepherds when they made the announcement. And at the end of this festive season, each one of us will end up at least in one of these three categories of reaction. The first one is that there are those who had... So everybody was fascinated when they heard the birth of the Savior, right? That Jesus, the Messiah, was born. They were all fascinated, but there are three different kinds of fascination. Number one, those with a passing fascination. It's just a passing fascination. Number two, those with a pondering fascination. Number three, those with a praising fascination. Let's take the first one. In verse 18, it says, "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." They wondered. Now, the verb describing their reaction is in a tense that communicates the idea that this was just a momentary thing. It's a fleeting experience where they were filled one time and no more. That was it. Just one time. A once-off experience that had no lasting impact on their lives hereafter. They are fascinated, all right, but it's quickly forgotten. As if it was just another ordinary thing that had happened. Unfortunately, this is the biggest group in the text. Biggest group in the story. And it will be the biggest group at the end of the festive season. People will just buy and sell. Just eat chicken and braai. And be with family, which is important. We bond and eat together. That's important. But what happens afterwards? This will be some people who don't even care about the birth of Jesus. They will hear about it. They will hear the songs. Yeah, yeah. Tell your mother. No. In Sunday school, there was a girl who introduced herself around Christmas, and she said, "My name is Mwilanga Ndweka Chasa. I'm going to..." I hope she's not allowed to. But I'm just trying to, you know, remember what happened. "My name is Mwilanga Ndweka Chasa. I'm going to sing a song entitled Tell Your Mother." You know, it was so nice when we were kids, eh? The song was entitled Tell You. Christmas is about Jesus. He's the reason for the season. When he was born, there were those with just a passing fascination. Just like that. One time, like, hey! And then they go on. Just like that. They were the biggest group. They wandered once, boom, and that was it. That was it. Just a passing fascination. Oh, really? A wonder that is just gone like that. They acknowledged his birth, but only fleetingly. Right afterwards, the wonder fades away for good. Pastor Walker said something in the first sermon of this series. He said, "Never get over being saved. It's a big deal to have a savior in your life, to know where you are going in life, to have direction, to know that God knows my name. That God loves me. He loved me and he came for me. He was born for me. Even if I was the only person in the world, he could have done it. To think about that, the wonder should go deeper. Never get over being saved. That moment when you encountered Christ, when you received him, when you were born again because of his grace, it's a wonder. May Christmas remind you of that wonder. Hallelujah. As you think about this season, think about how you're going to serve him. How you're going to worship him. What shall you render to the Lord? I was challenged one time. We're in a church service, and this old man, well in his maybe 70s, and he was in front encouraging people, what shall I render? And I was thinking, I'm only in my 30s, and this man is looking for something he can render to the Lord. He wants to serve. I said, my God, I have more years, God willing, to actually ask this question, what shall I render? May the wonder of salvation, may the wonder of the Savior's birth ever fill your heart, that you will always focus on him. Hallelujah. Don't let it be a fleeting thing that you just think about in December only. It's a big deal to be saved. Hallelujah. Many will sing about him and talk about him, but they will forget till next year, this time next year. And that is sad. Don't have a passing fascination. Let your fascination be like the next one, a pondering fascination. Pondering fascination. Verse 19. Now, this is the smallest group because it's made up of only one person. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. The word for treasuring up, suneterai, it's in the... Oh. Suneterai, it's in the imperfect tense, which means that she did this over and over and over and over again. She was treasuring it up. She started, she finished, and she started again. Treasuring up, thinking about these things. And then that same idea is compounded by the usage of the participle for pondering. It's a participle. A participle is an ongoing now. This one you're going to like it. It's sumbalusa. It's Greek. It means she went on meditating, ruminating, thinking about this thing. She wanted the wonder to linger. She was basking in that moment, just looking at herself. Lord, I'm only a child. You have come to me. You have used me. You have given the world a savior through me. Who am I that you are mindful of me? She was pondering, she was thinking, how can you come and reside in me? I am your humble servant. And it kept her in this mode. This is Luke. Luke, he was a doctor. He was precise in his report. Because doctors are precise, eh? Hallelujah. This is a man used to giving prescriptions. And he got all these details from Mary herself when he's writing the Gospel of Luke. Mary was ruminating. She was going over it. How is it even possible that you can use me, God? These things are happening. I'm ostracized. They can't see it. But I see it, Lord. You are so wonderful. I will worship you and serve you all the days of my life. You have done a great thing in my life. She was pondering. Let this be your disposition. This Christmas, when you think about Him coming to save you, if you were the only person, I reiterate, He still would have come for you. Because it took His blood, but He had to be born for you. Let this be your disposition this Christmas. Don't let it be about the promos. Black Friday is gone now, eh? The 70% off. Is that stuff real? Let it be about the Savior. Think about Him. Think about next year. Think about what you're going to render to Him. Mary pondered. She pondered. Let this be, this Christmas, let it be the beginning of your deepest devotion to God. And may the wonder of the supernatural birth of Jesus Christ produce in you a firm persuasion and conviction that will yield good fruit. Amen. Transformation, maturity, so you can make an impact on the world for the rest of your life. Amen. So we have a passing fascination in verse 18, a pondering fascination in 19, and the last one is a praising fascination. Verse 20, chapter 2, verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The shepherds went back to their jobs, glorifying and praising. Not with the hangover. Maybe they were hangover by the wonder. Yes, you are allowed that one. Because for some people, it's just, they've even stocked up. Stocked up on alcohol. Let the wonder fascinate you to a point where you start praising. These shepherds, they went back to their daily routines, daily rounds to the fields, to do the common task with a new disposition, praising God, filled with awe and wonder. They didn't let it fade away. Never let the awe and wonder fade away. Never get over the fact that when He was born, it was for you. Mulenga, Kangwa, Silumesi, all the other names. Samalesu, I just love that name. Each one of us by name. He still would have done it even if you were the only person in the world. That is why He's your Lord, personal Lord and Savior, if you believe in Him, when you believe in Him. And He wants to be your Lord and Savior if you haven't made that decision yet. In conclusion, it's amazing how God does not force Himself on anyone. You see, He came in a way that the majority could just sense the wonder of it and then just forget it. They forgot and moved on with their lives. He still comes today so quietly, and people can either say yes or no. Christmas comes and goes. People forget by New Year's Eve. And they go back to business as usual without a thought about Him. He never forces Himself on anyone. But it will not be so when He comes a second time. He will come as a strong king with all power in His hands. Not in a manger or on a donkey, but on a horse as a conquering king of glory. In judgment, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, Everyone would acknowledge him. And he comes gently to all of us today. Ever so gently. And with that, I would just like us to take some moments to just reflect again. In which category do you want to end up? You don't want to end up in a category of those with a passing fascination. Just a fleeting experience of the birth. It's wonderful. It's miraculous. The birth of our Savior. But don't let it just be a thing that comes and goes. It's a big deal. May we ponder. May we think about these things. Jesus came for us. He came to get us. He came, he reached down. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we may be the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Never get over being saved. It's a big deal. Christ emptied himself in order to come to the mundane, walking the streets of Jerusalem that were so narrow. In human flesh. May we have a praising fascination. A praising fascination. And that said, I want to invite you. Let's just give him some praise. Hallelujah. May we just be upstanding and let's just give him some praise. Just think about your birth. Your new birth. The fact that you are alive. And God has kept you alive in order that you may declare his praises. It's a big deal. It costs something for you to stand where you're standing. It costs the Lord something for you to be here in this church today. So with the words out of your heart, out of gratitude, can we just lift up some praise? Whatever words come into your heart, may you just say them out loud. And make it very personal in this moment. Think about all of the good things that have come as a result of you being in the Lord. Let that fascinate you to the point where you praise him for his birth. He was born for me. Yes, me. He loves me. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Just lift up your voice and praise him. Father, I thank you. I bless your name. Thank you for thinking of me. For always caring for me. For coming for me. You know me by name. Hallelujah. May I never forget the wonder of your birth. It's your birth that brought salvation. Thank you for coming to get me when I was lost in sin, not knowing anything at all, not even knowing that I was lost. But you came for me. You did not wait for me. You reached down because you loved me like that. Oh, Father, we worship you. We bless your name. Just for me. Just for me. Just for me, you came. Thank you for coming to get me. May my heart be filled with a fascination that never fades away. With a wonder that will stay. A wonder that will cause me to testify of your goodness. A wonder that will cause me to go out and spread the word. That the Savior has come. The Savior was born. Oh, Jesus, I bless your name. Oh, hallelujah. I will testify of your goodness and your mercy. And I lift your name on high. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. We bless your name. We bless your name, Jesus. He still comes today, and He's here today. If you haven't made Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. He came for you. He was born for you. It is because of you that He came to be born like us. Not a dignified birth, a very shameful, very low birth, so He can lift you and I up. If you are here and you haven't made that decision to follow Him, to be His child, to give your life so you can serve Him, so you can live for Him, if you haven't made that decision, I want to give you this opportunity. Every eye closed, nobody looking around, nobody walking around. I believe this is a holy moment when somebody is about to make a decision that will last for eternity. If you are here and you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, will you kindly just raise your hand? Show by raising your hand. Hallelujah. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to live inside of you. Where are you? Just wave your hand. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else? This is when it matters the most. This is an opportunity for you to become part of God's family. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else here? Hallelujah. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that hand. Those of you that have raised your hands, I'm going to invite you to make one more bold step and come up here. Carry all your belongings and come on and join me up here. Church, let's just praise God for these that are about to make, that are making this decision. Hallelujah. He came for you. He came for us. He came to get us when we were dirty, useless. He came to give us significance. Hallelujah. Come up here and join. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. Oh, you're worthy. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Come, come, please. I know there are more. Don't hesitate. This is when it matters the most. And this is a very important day. One more person. Yes. As one more person. Come on, come on. This is your day of salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to just lift up your hand as a sign of surrender and pray the prayer from deep down your heart. Church, let's just pray together. Help them. Pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you acknowledging that I am a sinner. And I come to you today acknowledging that you are my Savior. I believe you died and rose again to save me. Today, I receive your salvation. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being born for me. Thank you for dying for me. I receive your salvation. And I am your child. From this day onwards, I will live for you. Never again will I live for myself. I thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. One more time. Oh, Jesus is wonderful. Please follow Brother Webster. He's going to give you a book and give you the next steps. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Church, one more time. Jesus is worthy of praise. He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah. And Father, we come to you asking that every need in this place be met. Every need in this place be met. Whatever version of a need it is, we pray that you may meet every need in this place. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for coming for us, for coming to get us. And the wonder of your birth, God, we will never forget it. We're going to think about it. And we honor you this morning. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One more time. Oh yes, he deserves our praise. Church, we've come to the end of our service this morning. If you have a need, please be sure to come forward and be prayed for by this wonderful team. They are here to help stand with you in prayer. Please be seated. We're going to be dismissed from the back to the front. Allow the ushers to do that. Thank you so much for being in church and just worshiping together with the other saints. May God richly bless you as you get into the week. Amen.